Like many of the journalists working in Nicaragua at the time, I felt that our work was more a humanitarian mission than a job. We gave voice to the poor working class, the peasants, the laborers, whose voices would never be heard in their own country, and certainly not beyond the borders of their country, had it not been for us, the international media. With passion and empathy, we told their stories and revealed to the world their misery in the hope that outside forces could help change their lives for the better. You will find journalists today who scoff at this notion that our craft is something more than just a job. They will tell you that those who practice it with altruistic passion, even reverence, are soft-hearted idealists whose judgment may be skewed by emotion and therefore are not to be trusted. Don't believe them. Journalism is more than a craft. It is a calling. It is a manner in which one engages life. This is what I believe. This is what I practice. This is what I teach. It was a different time then, before our society was infected by pathological liars and sycophants, before Fox News poisoned the media landscape with alternative facts, and before 40% of the mostly white, starry-eyed, and stupefied American public relinquished all capacity of critical thinking and swallowed the Kool-Aid of fake news and enemies of the people. I had the extraordinary privilege of having practiced the craft of journalism when the international media were largely regarded as independent observers and unbiased professionals seeking truth in some of the darkest and most complicated corners of the world. We were respected. When I applied as a representative of United Press International or Newsweek magazine for an interview or permission to accompany troops in the field, the recipients of that application understood they were playing with a member of the major leagues. They took me seriously. Even the most uneducated or unsophisticated peasants and workers took us seriously. They wanted us to tell their stories. They understood that the media in their own countries were largely controlled by the same power brokers who had overseen and were responsible for the mess that we, the international media, were there to expose. We came from countries that were regarded as functioning democracies where truth and right mattered. We believe in facts, verifiable truths, and science. We value critical thinking and basic common sense. When I entered a restaurant or a city plaza with professional cameras worth more than most people earned in a year hanging from my neck, people took notice. We were even feared. On a highway in Honduras, I was pulled over by a policeman who tried to squeeze me for money because I did not have reflectors used by motorists on the shoulder of a highway while fixing a flat or cooling an overheated radiator. "Is this how the police in Honduras treat international journalists?" I asked the cop as I brandished my Newsweek magazine identification card. He let me go. We were regarded with suspicion by protagonists on both sides of the political spectrum. For example, the Sandinistas saw us as possible undercover CIA agents, while the Contras suspected we might be communist sympathizers. But each side knew that they had to play ball with us because we controlled, to a great degree, how the world perceived them. We controlled how they would appear to their benefactors in the U.S. Congress and administration, upon which they depended for their survival. We were sought after. At a demonstration in San Salvador, an attractive young woman walked up to me and pushed a piece of paper into the pocket of my photojournalist vest, then walked away. On the paper, she had written her name, her telephone number, and this request: "Llámame. Call me." Covering the war with either side presented me with a powerful moral quandary. I want it to be over. I want to be there only long enough to get decent pictures of the drudgery of patrolling through the mountains, but I also need pictures of war, shooting, fighting, dead and wounded. Once I get that, I can return to my base of operations where I will find safety, decent food, a real bed, and, fortunate as I was, the love and support of a family like Claudia's. So, I want to document fighting, but I don't want any of the people in my group, or the opposing group for that matter, to get hurt. I want to make pictures of dead and wounded, but I don't. I want to capture powerful images like the ones I saw growing up in Life magazine during the Vietnam War, but I don't. I want to show the suffering that U.S. foreign policy is inflicting upon this poor, underdeveloped country. I must. I will. I did.